So what about this? The
no, because, no, no.
That's fair. That's a good. That's very good interruption.
Yeah.
Hello, welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Hearn. With me today are Tracy Erickson.
Hi.
And Alex Rennie.
Hello.
Hello. Alex, how was your week? How was your weekend? Because it was the Easter weekend, of course.
Yeah, it was. It was, yeah. It was good. Yeah. I had to buy my own Easter egg, though, which was mildly depressing.
Have you finished it yet?
No, I haven't, because I only bought it yesterday, because obviously I didn't buy it before Easter, because then it would have cost a lot more.
Yeah, quite right.
So yeah, it was a twirl Easter egg for all those American people that listen to this that have no idea what a twirl is.
We can build in some a bit of anti-American commentary now about twirls. Produced by Cadbury's.
Which were
recently bought out by Kraft. A hyper mega global
Woody Kraft.
Food company.
A Tracy.
Their American cheese empire.
Yeah, the American cheese tyrants have taken over. They closed a factory just near where we live, actually. Near where the Pocket Gamer offices is.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, close to
Cadbury. Maybe they'll start putting cheese in chocolate, which will frankly make me go to war.
I had a dream about.
Oh no, you can do that. Oh, that they already do that. Like, you can get like blue cheese truffles.
Yeah, well, but they don't just sneakily do it, do they? They're not like, oh, here's Dairy Milk, and then you eat, and you're like, Dairy Milk. This is more like Dairy Lee. This is bloody horrible.
I actually have a friend who makes every Christmas. It's like the best fudge that I've ever had, and it's made with a Kraft Velveeta. Do you guys have Velveeta?
No, what is it?
Rye-vita.
It's Rye-vita. Actually really. What's that?
Rye-vita is like a kind of oaty biscuit thing, like a cracker that's really, really dry.
No. Oh, this is nothing like that. No, Velveeta is this really overly processed cheese that can be melted and it doesn't lose its like. It's like a melty cheese. Like when you go and get those nachos at some when you go to. I guess, you know, do they serve nachos at football matches? Can you get nachos at a football match?
I think if you ask for nachos at a football match, the person behind the counter would punch you in the face.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you could if you were to go to a football game here, American football, you could get like nachos, or a basketball game, you get nachos and it has that like really fake cheese.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Velveeta is, except it doesn't taste like nacho cheese. It just tastes like regular cheese. And she puts it in her, to get back to my point, she puts it in her fudge, and you would think it sounds really gross, but it just makes it really creamy.
Yeah. Mm. That sounds all right. Whenever I have homemade fudge, it's always this stuff called tablet, and it's really crumbly. It's just like eating sugar. It's absolutely disgusting.
Velveeta.
I'm gonna look into that. But yeah, so that's what's happened. Kraft has bought out Cadbury, but I'm sure everything will be fine for the consumer.
Yeah.
I also got an Easter egg. A whisper Easter egg. Do you have whispers in America?
No, what are those?
They're really, do you have arrows?
No, we don't.
They don't have anything. They have any like Hershey's.
Different chocolate.
Yeah.
Babe Ruth's. Is that a thing?
That's a candy bar with nuts.
Yeah, like a marathon. You must have marathons, which are now called Snickers. But we refuse to.
We should now call Snickers. We called Snickers about 18 years ago.
Yeah, but I refuse to acknowledge the name change. Marathon was a really good name. Man.
Refusing to use.
Yeah, that's Marathon's pretty good name.
Yeah, changed it to Snickers. Absurd. They also changed. We had a thing called Opal Fruits, which were changed to Starburst. Opal Fruits is a great name for sweets. Now it's gone. But anyway,
Starburst is pretty good. At least that name change isn't bad. Snickers is
that's unambiguously bad. But yeah, I had a whisper is like bubbly chocolate. So it's really, you eat it and it's really kind of crumbles in your mouth. Actually, it's a bit of a scam though. I realized, because one year I had a whisper in my back pocket, it melted, and then reformed. And there was nothing there. And I thought, God, they're having us on. This costs the same amount as a normal chocolate bar. but it contains about a quarter of as much chocolate and air.
The air bubbles taste nice.
It is good. It is delicious air, I have to say. So that's
true. It's true. That's what they say on the advert.
Yeah. Oh, the advert, right? Yeah.
I would say that.
Never mind. What about you, Tracy? Did you have a good Easter?
I did. I spent most of it playing iPad games.
Right. No eggs, though. Go on, Tracy. Stay on
top.
No
eggs.
This isn't an iPad. This isn't an iPad podcast.
I skipped Easter this year. Because I don't need the chocolate. Although I did buy these fancy chocolates last time I was in San Francisco, and I had some of those.
Okay. Well, that's all right. Yeah. No, I don't know.
I'm going to go and get my Easter egg now. This is going to be my breakfast.
Oh, well.
I'll eat it during the podcast.
That's an excellent idea. Yeah. Okay. So, well, actually, yeah, it really is an iPhone and iPad gaming podcast. So let's talk about that.
News!
Tracy, you're the only one in Pocket Gamer Towers who's actually played one so far. What do you think?
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's okay.
Just okay?
it's cool. it's kind of weird to think that it only came out a couple days ago. I feel like I've spent an eternity with it. For gaming, it's definitely not just a big iPad or a big iPod. I mean, I think a lot of people have been talking about, especially before the launch, people who don't think it's a big deal. And of course, the same people who say that it's not a big deal are the ones who want one but don't want to spend the money on one. Because I bet you that anybody who's saying, I don't want an iPad, if somebody were to give it to them, they'd take it. But back to the question, I mean, if you think it's a big iPod Touch, that may be true for some parts of the device. You know, if you're hoping for it to replace a laptop, it's not going to do that for you. But in terms of gaming, there's nothing that's been like it. I mean, it's essentially a console in your hands, and not in the same way as like people talk, PSP is so powerful. It's like PS2 in your hands. No, this runs the same resolution as my, TV that I have my Xbox 360 hooked up to. I mean, so you're getting the same HD visuals, and they're like, they're just, it's inches from your face. So it's just totally different.
Yeah, no, I really want one. More so now that I read your review than before. Before I did definitely want one, but now I'm actually kind of excited about it. And what I'm starting to do, we'll talk about this a bit more when we're talking about what we've been playing, but what I'm starting to do is realize that my iPod Touch is inadequate. it never occurred to me that it was before. But then I was playing Broken Sword a bit with Susie the other night, and I was thinking, mm-hmm. What the hell am I doing on this stupid, tiny little screen? I want Broken Sword HD on an iPad now.
Yeah.
So
that's so funny that you mentioned Broken Sword, because I literally, 2 hours ago, booted that up on the iPad to write a feature which is up on the site now, top 10 iPhone games that look really great upscaled on iPad. And I was like, I wonder what Broken Sword is going to look like. It actually looks really good, but to get to the point of why you would actually want it on the bigger screen, that particular game, aside from the fact it would just be pretty, is like just having the ability to see everything. I mean, that was one of the things on Broken Sword and even on some of the other adventure games, is that when you put anything on a small screen, even if it looks really good, the detail can be so small that you can't see it. I mean, like Hidden Adventures game, there's one that just got released on the day the iPad was launched, and it's a universal, so you can play it on your iPhone or iPod Touch. And I first, because I got the game before I got the iPad, I wanted to check it out on iPod Touch first, And I had a harder time finding things simply because they were so small that I couldn't really make them out. When I played it on iPad, it was a hell of a lot easier. So I think it's going to help a lot. I think if developers are thinking about it and being really careful, it can make a lot of games certainly better.
So it's good. I should be getting mine in about less than a week. Yeah. What about you, Alex?
What?
Incoming. Have you got an iPod, iPad incoming?
iPad? No, I thought I was going to get your iPad.
No.
Oh. Well, then no, I don't have one. Oh. I would like one, though. I'd like one. That would be nice.
Okay. Well, I would
stash that iPad somewhere away from Alex.
I've already, because I'm going to be busy this week. It originally was going to come to me. This is probably a fascinating insight for the listeners. It was originally going to come to me. And then I thought, well, I'm only doing 3 days this week because it was Easter. Although, you know, I did Monday as well, obviously. And then I'm going away on Friday for my stag do. And so I thought, I'm only going to be here 3 weeks. It should go to someone else first. So it's gone up to John Jordan, the pocketgamer.biz editor. And now I'm a bit worried. The saving grace is that he's someone else, a developer, is sending him one. And that's the only reason I think I'm getting the one that was intended for me. Because otherwise, I think he would have just kept it. Because when he used to have the iPod Touch and I realized that iPhone gaming was actually going to take off, I said, John, you've got an iPod Touch, don't you? I think I really need to have a go. Can you send it down to me? And he said, well, I'm afraid you'll have to claw it out of my cold, dead hands. Like, were pretty much his exact words. And I was a bit worried that was going to happen with the iPad as well. But no, it's coming because he's got another one coming. So we're all going to have iPads soon. It's going to be awesome.
You're going to love it, Rob. You're going to love it, especially when, you know, like take Geometry Wars, for example, you know, those kind of Xbox Live Arcade PSN games start coming over. That's just right up your alley. You love that stuff. So,
yeah, that's going to be good. This week, April Fool's came. It was the 1st of April on when was it the 1st of April? What day did it happen? Last Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah, I just want to mention this because it's quite funny. And I'll probably use it to, you know, this is a warning, link warning. I'll probably use this as some kind of clever link to talk about something else. On April Fool's Day, it's traditional for blogs and, you know, newspapers and everything to write stories that are April Fool's jokes that people are supposed to kind of be suckered into and believe. And we did one on flight control, our one. It was the idea of Jez Bridgman, who is the art director of Steel Media, which was that in Australia, people had been using, like air traffic controllers had been using flight control as a training method. So we ran the story, just like everyone else did. Kotaku actually had this list of an April Fool's joke survival guide, and it was a list of the good and the bad and the ugly. I don't know what constitutes ugly as an April Fool's joke, but there you go. I'm sure the conceit worked. But we were in the bad ones. Like they didn't think we were good, which annoyed me a bit. But we've got a list of all the people who fell for it that Jez spotted. At Cos Online. I'm just reading out. This is like the list of shame. Topnews.us. Intermobile.com. That's quite a big
book. Oh my God, they bought into that? That's hilarious.
Intermobile, I know. Technews.com. ibtimes.com.au. It's an Australian site, I guess. Mind Magician.
No, that's International Business Times, which is a very large newspaper in Australia, apparently.
Yeah.
No.
Pad Gadget, which is a new iPad site. I actually commented on that because the majority of these people didn't link to us. Intermobile did. But the majority of these people, they fell for it and they didn't link to us. Anyway, iPhone World.
Hilarious.
California. Businessinsider.com, Team iPad, Play.tm, IMDb just copied the Digital Spy story, which was the first one. And Digital Spy, that was the first one I spotted. And I, this was quite mean, but I emailed the guy because he didn't give us a link. Because in our story, I said the story came from Reuters. and this is how you tell everyone it's an April Fool's joke. This is like the failsafe. The Reuters link didn't link to Reuters, of course, because there was no story. It links to a picture of Forrest Gump, kind of, you know, just staring at his knees, looking thick, and that was the idea. In the Digital Spy story, he credited Reuters with the story. Didn't credit us. So I emailed him and said, "What are you doing? You didn't credit us for this story." And he said, "Oh, sorry. I thought it, you know, a bit sniffly. I thought it was a Reuters story." And eventually gave us credit, not a link. But obviously I didn't tell him that it was a hoax. So he still got it up. Everyone else has still got it up, and they all fell for it. So that's victory to Pocket Gamer, I think. And Wallace. Also, Kotaku is wrong. Yeah, there are Wallies. And Kotaku is wrong. Scientifically, it can't have been a bad one from Jez there, because we pulled the wool over so many eyes. So that was good. April, we won April Fools this year, I think.
We won.
We won. Yeah.
Maybe the iPad's an April Fools joke. Maybe the Americans are all in on it, and they're just like doing it to annoy the British and saying, "Oh yeah, it's really good. It's really cool."
Is this true, Tracy?
Can't wait till you get it.
Thanks for nothing, Tracy.
I plead the Fifth Amendment.
Anyway, here's the link I talked about. So that was an April Fool's joke about flight control, and flight control is, of course, on the iPad. And we alluded fairly strongly to this last week. It has a 3D mode, so you put on 3D spectacles, and you play it, and I guess everything is supposed to appear to be in three dimensions. Have you tried this out, Tracy?
Yes, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that? I told you 3D didn't work. I said that on like four podcasts ago.
Well, no. I should clarify. It does. Well, no, it works in terms of the sense that it does 3D. But the problem is because you're wearing red and blue lenses, you can't make out the colors of the planes.
Ah, that's a flaw.
Which is kind of important. So I couldn't play it. Because my planes would crash because I couldn't tell which color the planes were.
That's a shame. I don't like that kind of 3D anyway. Alex, you're, as usual, talking nonsense, because the kind of 3D that you were referring to was glasses-less 3D, whereas this is glasses full 3D. But there's actually...
It was glasses full 3D. I just don't even believe that's 3D either.
Have you gone to see any 3D films? Did you go and see Avatar?
Yeah, I have. I went to go and see Avatar with someone, and it just gave me a headache, and I was like, this is shit. I wish it was just in 2D. What's wrong with 2D? Why is 2D so bad all of a sudden?
That's how I feel. It gave me a headache as well.
Yeah.
Bloody 3D. Why wouldn't it sod off? But no, it's different. The kind of 3D you don't believe in, well, the other kind of 3D you don't believe in is different. Sharp has been demoing the technology. There's video on the site, but I couldn't
April Fools.
Really see it.
Mm. Yeah, exactly! Oh, there's a video on the side by it. Oh, I can't see it. Oh, that's because 3D doesn't exist.
Okay. So there were some good analyst predictions. So before the iPad came out, there seemed to be a sort of consensus, or at least a lot of people were saying it would sell around 300,000. But then just before the iPad came out, somebody... Let's name and shame, shall we? Gene Munster of Piper Jaffray initially predicted that it would sell 200,000 to 300,000 units within the first weekend. But then just before the iPad came out, he bumped that up to 600,000 to 700,000 units. And then it sold 300,000 units in the end. So that was rather foolish. He was looking good. Now he's probably unemployed. It's probably not. Because they don't have to be right, analysts. That's the thing about that job. I often think I could be an analyst. Anyway, so that was that. Predictions, 300,000. Up to 700,000. Actuality, 300,000. Still very good. More than the iPhone, which was 230,000, I think. So, well done, Apple. Other good games that came out. So, Flight Control, we've already talked about. Resident Evil 4, that's another one that we hinted about last week. Tracy did with his clue, and also on the Rumor Miner, talked about a GameCube game, and this was it, Resident Evil 4. What do we think of it, Tracy?
You're giggling because you know what I think about it. It's horrible. It's not the GameCube game, which sucks. Rumor Miner must be one of those stupid analysts.
Rumor Miner.
Analysts. So that's out. These are the most interesting games, I thought. Resident Evil 4, that was kind of a big deal, although it turns out it's just a version of what was already out on the iPod Touch, so less interesting than it sadly could have been. Sam and Max, that interested me because this is actually the first version of that game to come out. So
yeah,
it's going to be available, and you know, people have known about it for quite some time, and people have been pre-ordering it for PC and Mac and PS3, I think. But it hit the iPad first. I'm just going to get you the full title. Yeah, Sam and Max, Episode 1, The Devil's Playhouse, Episode 1, The Penal Zone. You also played that, Tracy?
What did you think? I did, yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of it. I think it's actually pretty well developed from a gameplay standpoint. It's nice and streamlined. Not a lot of puzzle solving in this particular episode. It's a lot of conversation, which is to be expected because it's the first episode of a new storyline in the third season. I never got stuck, which was cool, or everything was, it was good like that. Unfortunately, I didn't really get into the humor. I found it to be a little bit too bizarre for my liking, and just lots of easy jokes. You know, there at one point, one character says, it's a ghost. The woman's a ghost. And she says, I can't wait to get inside of a body. I want to get inside of a body because I miss touching. And Max, the little bunny character, says, touching is my third favorite thing I like to do. And the other characters just kind of look at him as though, because he's like referring to like masturbating.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? Like, that's an easy joke. And then he follows that up immediately by saying, in case anybody was wondering, licking is my second favorite thing to do. It's just like, it's not very funny, right? It's just not very funny. So there's a lot of jokes like that. And there was also some technical problems. I had to restart it a couple times because of different graphical glitches. One where the whole screen was filled with all these sorts of like triangles and stuff. So it's supposed, that sort of stuff will definitely get fixed. But ultimately, at the end of the day, if you really liked Sam and Max, like if you've been following them, then I think you'll enjoy this. But I just couldn't get into it. It's just not the same for me. I think there's like the way Broken Sword and Monkey Island are a little bit more, like I like them, you know, like I like that sort of humor. It's a little bit, it's dry, but the very, it's sharper. It's a lot sharper.
My favorite thing, one of my favorite puzzles in Monkey Island is, because this, to me, I mean, it doesn't completely sum up the humor, because a lot of the humor in Monkey Island is verbal. But the kind of the humor as expressed in the puzzles in Monkey Island is when he's underwater. Someone's tied a statue to his leg and chucked him underwater, this Guybrush Threepwood. And there are these kind of swords and scissors and all kinds of things around you. And you're attached by this rope and you're underwater. So you're kind of struggling to, you're trying to pick up the rope, but it's too far away, and you're trying to pick up the scissors, but they're too far away. And then eventually, you just pick up the statue, and walk out of the water. And I thought, I like that. I like that joke, because the joke, the puzzle itself makes you laugh. That's why that game is so genius. And also Geometry Wars, which I was surprised by actually, and thought that was a good one, although it's not. Seems by all accounts not to be quite, you know, as good as the Xbox version.
I mean, that's to be expected. There was somebody going, it was the CEO of Aurora Faint, the guy who is in charge of Open Faint, the Xbox Live sort of social network on iPhone, and he was tweeting on the day the iPad launched on Saturday was saying, oh, well, I call bull on any review of Geometry Wars that's good because it's just, it's so crappy compared to the Xbox version. And I was kind of like, well, yeah, duh. Like, you're right. Of course it's not going to be as good as a game that uses a twin stick controller. But it's still pretty good. I mean, it's got its problems. I mean, you can read the review on the site, but I thought it was actually pretty fun. I mean, I didn't, and maybe it's because I have a, maybe I'm used to just using virtual analog sticks, but I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try that one out because I really like the Xbox version. But yeah, I'm sort of, I'm not expecting good things. Mirror's Edge, that was eagerly anticipated. EA said that it was delayed because they were putting Facebook integration, but I think it's fairly clear now that it was for the because of the iPad launch. And how that was probably your, what was your bet? What was your favorite of all the games you've reviewed so far, and what was your least favorite? Actually, let's do it like that.
Mirror's Edge is definitely my favorite. I've got to say, Mirror's Edge is so good that it's right now my favorite game of the year. It's just so good. And they added so much more since I saw it, since I played it on iPhone. It's just, it's really good. I'd say it's probably EA's best game for the Apple platforms that they've made so far. It's just really fun. And I was playing multiplayer because you can, they have two split screen multiplayer modes, and it's just, that's cool. I mean, it's not, and it doesn't feel like it was just chucked in for the sake of like, oh, we can do multiplayer, let's do it. It actually is, it was fun and meaningful and unique and something that you couldn't get in the console version. So if you have an iPad, you have to get that game. It is just, it's worth every penny. The one I have liked the least, gosh, I think it would probably be Resident Evil. It's just not good at all. I mean, because it's essentially the iPhone game blown up on a bigger screen.
Yeah.
And twice the price. I mean, that's what kills me about it, is that they're charging almost double the price for literally the same game.
Damn them. Damn you, Capcom. Mirror's Edge is the best. So Resident Evil 4, Sam & Max, Geo Wars, Mirror's Edge, you've reviewed all of these. Also, Field Runners? How was that? Yeah. That was mediocre, wasn't it, really? Well, I mean, good, but not, you know, not worthy of a different version, essentially, was your...
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think if you go read the review... I mean, it's games like Field Runners that make reviewing games really hard, because Field Runners was good on iPhone, right? Like, people enjoyed it. We gave it a fairly good score, but we had reviewed it very, very early on when the game didn't have any sound effects, didn't have music, like, had, you know, very few units and modes. And that was all added in later. So when they said they were going to do I don't think they actually said they were doing an iPhone, iPad version. I think it was leaked. It was basically the same. It's the same game on iPhone. Like, it's just blown up. There's no new content. There's nothing to make it stand out. So it's like, well, you know, anybody who's going to do an iPad specific tower defense game is just going to blow this out of the water. It's gonna look better. It's gonna have more stuff. So it's like, is it really worth? I didn't feel like it was worth recommending it, because it's like, well, you might as well save yourself some money and just buy it on iPhone, and then just make it big on your iPad screen. I mean, that's the way I looked at it. I mean, that's why, you know, I thought it was worth a lower score than I think a lot of other people were expecting. But I think, Give it 6-8 months, and when games like GeoDefense 2 come out and people see that, oh, wait, hey, no, this is how it should look. This is how a tower defense game should be on iPad, or, you know, and a survival horror game should be on iPad. They're going to look back at these scores and be like, ah, aha, okay, now that makes sense.
Yeah, sounds a bit lazy. Plants vs. Zombies, of course, has got an iPad version with extra knobs and whistles, isn't it? So that's possibly worth getting.
Yeah.
Have you seen it? Have you You tried
I was just tinkering around with it. There's not a ton of extra stuff. It's just it's nicer on the bigger screen because the interface isn't so cramped.
Right. Is Rian still playing that?
PVZ. Yeah, she's progressed to the PC game though, which apparently is much better.
That's like going from speed to crack. You shouldn't.
She's already on crack. She's now on some kind of 8-ball mix of heroin, crack, speed, and ketamine.
Oh dear.
Ketamine. Oh my god. That's.
I don't know where she's going to go from this.
Ketamine makes your bladder shrink.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Forever.
So, yeah, that's what Susie says. She obviously she treats people who take ketamine, and that is one of the things that happens is their bladders shrink.
That'd be
annoying. That is horrible. You have to go to the bathroom all the time.
Hey, you go to the toilet all the time. Sorry, that's Sue Rob, not you, Tracy.
I do. I don't think it's because of ketamine abuse. To be honest,
I
think I can eliminate that from the reasons. It's probably cancer of some kind. Well, I know. But at least it's not. At least I'll get into heaven, which I don't believe. Anyway. So Apple. Just after the iPad came out, a couple of days after that, we learned that Apple had patented a gaming accessory, like a little. An object that you clip your iPhone into, and it's got a little kind of control pad, you know, buttons and a D-pad around it for gaming, which I think I'm quite keen to see. I'd like to play. I've been playing Earthworm Jim lately a bit, and I just don't think like on-screen controls are adequate for a game like that. You really need the buttons.
Oh, no.
And so Apple has patented one, and you know, and maybe that means it'll come out. There'll be an official version. But after we ran the story, we were reminded by the inventor of the eye control pad, which we've already written about quite a bit, that you know they've already done one, and actually they're going to be, I think, trying to sue Apple or something, I guess. What happened was, so the story about Apple's patent broke on a site called Patently Apple, and there are some pictures of it that you can go and look at. And it all looks, you know, fairly interesting. Shortly after that, one of our writers who knows the guy who made the eye control pad got in touch and said, "Hey," to tell us about a post on his blog. This is the eye control pad developer. And the post on his blog was entitled, "An Extremely Sinister Development." And I spoke to him, you know, I emailed him to ask what was happening, and he also used that term in the email. So he obviously thinks this is a very sinister development indeed. And he's presumably going to try and do something about it. He's going to take Apple down for ripping off his idea. But we'll see. I'm still a bit unclear on the details of this, though. I don't know whether, you know, the eye control pad is patented and whether if it's not, he can actually protect it. I don't know. Don't know anything about patent law.
I'll tell you who does.
Who?
Tim Langle. Well, he knows all about patent law.
Trademark. Whatever. Presumably it's slightly different.
Whatever. Same difference.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
We hate him.
Yeah. Piss off, Langle! But nothing else about him in the news this week. But there was, so there was some legal fun. Eye control pad developer maybe set to take down Apple. Or maybe we'll just never see any kind of control pad peripheral. This, however, if one does come out, and I hope it does, whether I eventually get the eye control pad or something else made by Apple, this will be the one that I actually buy. Because things like this have been coming out for mobile for years. That most famously, the Z-Mote, which is a little joystick which works by Bluetooth. It looks a bit like the Wii Nunchuck. It communicates with your mobile phone, and you can play mobile games with this little nunchuck-like joystick, and it's called the Z-Mote. And it just never took off. And I have to say, I never thought it would take off. But the operators started giving it away with certain handsets, and you know, a lot of people put a lot of time and energy into making it work. But the idea that you have a peripheral for a mobile device never really made any sense to me, unless it's like an essential peripheral, like you used to get with the Game Boy, that little light so you could play it in the dark. Fine.
Oh, you had to have that thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if it's a necessary one, or, you know, if your eyesight's bad, maybe you'll use the little magnifying glass that you used to be able to get. But the controller, I never thought it was going to happen. But this one, maybe, I mean, if you can have it, like, attached, if I could have it on my iPod Touch all the time, and it didn't make it too cumbersome, I think I definitely would, because it would definitely massively increase its gaming powers. But we'll see. The iPad was jailbroken like the day after it was released by a guy called Muscle Nerd. I don't really know the details of that. Because
Muscle Nerd.
I looked on his picture on Twitter, and he does actually look quite muscly. If assuming it's him, he actually is a muscle nerd. He wasn't just trash talking.
Do people trash talk that kind of stuff?
Oh yeah, I'll trash talk anything. Pretty much anything, but not
muscle nerd.
You're not muscly, you idiot. Stuff like that, you know. Worthy of the Undertaker. So that happened. Muscle Nerd jailbroke the iPad, and then the day after that, Zod Tadada, who is a kind of world famous jailbreaker and homebrew guy for iPhone, published a video of him playing SNES for iPhone, playing Mario Kart on the iPad. It's kind of nothing new because we've already seen Mario Kart on the iPhone and the iPod Touch, but it was exciting nonetheless to see it all blown up and big. There's so much iPad news. Yesterday, just before the iPad came out, John Mundy wrote a feature that just kind of brought together all the coverage we've done so far, all of the news stories and features and things. And yesterday I did another one just to cover launch weekend, and it took me about 2 hours. And if you go to the post, it's ridiculous. If you go to the story, I'll give you the name of it. Okay, Apple iPad launch weekend roundup. All the news, reviews, features. Written by me yesterday afternoon. Took me about 2 hours just to copy titles and links into an article. There must be, bloody hell, 50 news stories there. There's wow. Basically a lot happened over the weekend regarding the iPad. But to my surprise, at least, hot on the heels of all this iPad stuff, Apple sent an email around inviting journalists to go and see OS 4.0 in Cupertino on Thursday.
You going?
Tracy might, or might not. We don't know yet. Yeah, I'm not going, sadly. No, I thought I'd just go to Bath instead. And
that's fun.
And work in the office.
That'd be better.
Yeah. Imagine that. OS 4.0 in the same week that they launched the iPad. Pretty inconvenient, I call it, for us journalists who have got better things to do than follow Apple around. But there you are. What do you think about 4.0, Tracy? Think it's going to be exciting or fairly tedious?
I think it'll probably be a little bit more tedious than everybody would like it to be. But it is, it's weird that they made this announcement this week, huh? I mean, like right after all of with all the iPad stuff. I wonder if maybe they decided that they were going to do this now because... Maybe because they thought people were going to really like all of the iPad users. Because realize iPhone OS 4, well, the iPhone OS is what runs on an iPad. They're all the same thing, right? So I wonder if maybe they decided, oh, we've got to do this press conference because we've got to announce like some features that people are going to be complaining about on their iPads now. So if we do this press conference and say, hey, no, wait, don't get so upset. Like these features that you want are coming soon. So, I guess it's smart, but it's a little. I guess they'll dominate headlines the whole week with iPad and then whatever they're announcing. I mean, it would be cool if they were announcing Flash support for for iPhone, but I doubt
it. That's not happening, yeah. Just before the iPad came out, they sent around, or they published a list of sites that you could go to on your iPad, didn't they? I think they're still kind of encouraging people to not use Flash, and they're actively telling people how to surf the internet without using Flash.
Why don't you just put Flash in it? Like, is it something?
Yeah, that's a good question. Go on, Tracy.
I wish I could answer that. I don't know. It's so bizarre. This is one. They must have some beef with Adobe. I don't get it. I mean, what are they going to use? Silverlight? They're not going to work with Microsoft on that. So, I mean, to say that they can't use one or the other, support one or the other, is ludicrous. I mean, half the net uses Flash.
Yeah. Is it to do with security, maybe? Does Flash violate some kind of security principle? Well, yeah, it's mad. It is mental. It's mental that Apple is dug its heels in about this. But then it doesn't need to compromise, does it? 300,000 at launch. It just doesn't. Why should
it? Or 700,000.
Well,
who knows?
The people who... It is 300,000. That came out after the launch.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. So we all know for a start. Well, that's... So there we are then. We've gone through the news. This week's news was brought to you courtesy of Apple. Let's go to the rumor mine.
Rumor. Rumor.
Are we in? Are we in the rumor mine?
No, we got to go down.
Yeah, come on. So what are we doing? We're walking slowly towards the lift.
Can I wait up here?
No, you can't. It's the chain gang.
I don't have any rumors ever.
Yeah, I know, but you know, you're down here. You're part of the... This is a chain gang situation.
Ah, chain gang.
So there we are. So now we're on the lift. We're pressing the button. We're going down into the rumor mine. We're passing the dinosaur skeletons, the cartoon dinosaur skeletons embedded in the wall and the buried treasure. And we are now here in the rumor mine. It's dark. And I've got a rumor, which is that, and this is speculative, but, you know, I warn the listeners now that this is based on nothing. I haven't been tipped off, but I speculate. Tales of Monkey Island coming to iPad. That is my rumor. Yep. It's based on the fact that Sam & Max came out, and obviously that's also a Telltale game. And Monkey Island has also already been successful on iPad. So this, you know, it's based on nothing, but I hope it does happen. And I think today I'm going to ask them. I'm going to ask them about it.
Go get them.
Oh yeah, they will not be able to resist my questions.
This is a rubbish rumor. You've just made this rumor up. This isn't a rumor. You didn't find it down here.
I said that. What
the rumor is.
Yeah, it's a lie.
And you have to find it down here.
Well, what I'm wondering is that the treasure that we passed on the way in, why don't we just grab that and head on out of the rumor mine? Probably make more money off of those than any skanky old rumors we can find down here.
We hardly ever make any money off our rumors, do we? It's not fair.
Minimal rumor revenue.
Yeah, it's pathetic. Go on then, Tracy, you've got a rumor.
Well, yeah, I was talking with the rumor miner, and he was starting to collect thoughts for the column, and he was telling me that we already know that Geodefense 2 is coming out for in the fall. So we know that that is the sort of tower defense game to look out for this year, but that there's another one coming and we've already played it. It's getting essentially kind of a rework sequel / freemium structure, and it's Star Defense, which you guys may all remember came out last summer. Right when software update 3.0 came out, and it was supposed to be a really big thing because it was going to have in-app purchases for like bonus for extra planets, and that never happened. The in-app commerce stuff never happened for Star Defense, and it was really weird because all of us and the media really loved Star Defense. It's great. I still honestly think it's the best tower defense experience on iPhone. I just think it balances accessibility and challenge really well. So, yeah. Apparently, the rumor miner thinks that Star Defense is coming out sometime this year. Tower Defense freemium game. I don't know how they'll do that. I guess maybe you pay. Maybe you pay for the bullets in your weapons or something. I don't know.
Pay for, yeah, I guess you pay for towers and maps, planets. I've still never bought a freemium item.
You never bought a freemium? You must have got Eliminate.
No, I got the game, but I never bought anything in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I never bought any.
Yeah.
I only played it for about 5 minutes. I wasn't really interested. You know, having been, I guess like you guys, I know Alex has played these games, but having risen to a level of competence on games like Quake 3 and Counter-Strike and getting used to playing that kind of game in that kind of way, playing it on an iPod Touch just seemed a bit sort of ridiculous to me.
It is very annoying.
You know, I'm sure it has to be understood in context and all that, but I don't know, for me, I didn't. I gave it a go and thought, okay, well, you know, they've made a decent job of this, but this isn't the right platform for this kind of game. Mm-hmm. At all. It was what I thought, although maybe the iPad will change that. Who knows?
Well, that's an interesting point, because there was this iPad shooter that got announced on Saturday. Or no, it was Friday, I'm sorry. Right before the day before the launch. It was by the people who do Skies of Glory, which I think you were talking about last week, right?
I talked about SGN's Skies of Glory last week, yeah.
Exactly. SGN had on an iPad launch game, it was a third-person shooter called Exoplanet. And it actually looked really cool. It's a 2-on-2 team-based multiplayer set in zero-gravity space. So you, like, hook shot onto surfaces and, like, shoot people. It's basically like Capture the Flag. And I'm like, oh, my God, this sounds really cool. I bet this is really cool, like, good on the iPad, because it's got the big screen. You'll have to be able to controls. And it's actually not very good. It's not. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel. The controls just. I don't know. I'm still kind of forming my thoughts about it because I want to write about it. But I almost want to. It's coming out on iPhone, and I'm finding myself. I would wanting to play it on a smaller screen instead of the large one.
Really?
Which is really weird. Yeah. Yeah. Because. With shooters on iPad, and it doesn't quite work. It just doesn't feel as, maybe it's because iPad is too big and iPhone is too small. Like maybe if it was like kind of medium sized, you know, the thing is with iPad, you're having to hold up a pretty large screen. And if you're having to actively move your hands, it can like too much. In a twitchy game, it feels a little uncomfortable.
So what about this?
No.
That's fair. That's very good interruption.
Yeah.
No, I'll battle on. The Scrabble app comes with free app that you run on your iPod Touch or iPhone, unless this was an April Fool's, called Rack or something, Tile Rack. And what it means is that when you play Scrabble on the iPad, which sits on the floor between you and the person you're playing against or people, whoever's got an iPhone or iPod Touch can use their object as their iPhone or iPod Touch as a rack, so they can see their letters on that. And so there's interconnectivity, it's called. Would a game like this, do you think, work if you could play it on the big screen, but and then just use your iPod Touch purely as a control pad with big controls right in the middle of the screen? And so
that would okay. That
no.
Let's call that a rumor. Let's say that's going to happen. So let's leave the rumor mind then.
I'm doing the theme.
Climbing up the.
Climbing in the room.
Climbing the lift and it's rattling. and we've got pickaxes.
You sound like you're losing the world to dig for rumours.
Yeah. Well, we've left the room of mine.
Oscar wouldn't like the room of mine. He just sits at the top like a good dog waiting.
Urinating in.
In the mine.
Oh.
But we're out of there now. That's good. So now we can talk about what we've been playing.
What we've been playing!
Who's going to go first? I wonder who's going to go first. Tracy.
Alex has to go first.
Right, okay. Have interesting things to talk about. Yeah, go on then.
Let me tell you something. I'm playing an iPad. I'm playing an iPhone game right now.
Oh, and what?
It is?
Not Bejeweled 2.
No, it's Angry Birds again.
Okay.
I'm still playing it. It's great. Well, it's not amazing, but it's very, very, very addictive, which is what I think iPhone games should really be. I don't know. I'm not a big gamer. You two, obviously, Tracy, like, understands iPhone games and quality and so on. But I'm more about the addictiveness of iPhone games. And this is like, well, it's probably not as bad as ketamine, but it's crack worthy.
I think crack's more addictive than ketamine.
Okay.
I think crack's the most addictive.
Okay. Well, it's just heroin then. It's not crack, but it's close.
Yeah. My problem with Angry Birds was that it was a bit random. Do you never find that? So you can't.
Some levels are really easy and some levels aren't.
Not only that, but you. Well, there are two aspects of randomness, but one of them is more serious than the other. The first one is that, you know, it shows you where the pigs are, and then it goes back, and you've got your birds in the catapult. But then after that, you feel like you're using up birds to just reconnoiter where the pigs are. And then the other thing is, you know, rather than using birds to hit the right bit of the structures, you're just wasting birds because you forget how the structures look and things like that. The other thing is the structures themselves, and this may be just me, but architecturally they're beyond the level where I can work out how to take them down. So I just find myself throwing birds at them. And it's just trial and error rather than me looking at it and going, hang on. So if I get that,
you know,
bird,
what? This is just you. I'd like to point that out, like, pretty early on in this conversation. Okay. This is just you.
Okay. Thanks for correcting.
It is very. I think the actual structures and the physics of it is brilliant. I think personally.
So wait, but you look at a structure and you look at where it's going.
Yeah,
to be.
And I look at the weak points and the. I know, like, right now I'm on level 4-14. And it's like three glass turrets with wood and then rock underneath. So clearly, the thing is, you can't hit rock with a certain bird and you can hit rock with another bird and it makes a much better effect and breaks it up a lot easier. And you can't hit wood with the little birds, but you can hit wood with the yellow fast birds. You just basically got to be quite smart to play it, and I think that's where you've fallen down, Rob.
It's coming out on iPad. There's going to be an iPad version.
I think it's
already out.
Yeah, of course. I was playing it for quite a long time before I realised that when your birds are in flight, you can tap on them and something, you know, they'll either fall
it
apart.
It tells you that as a tip.
Yeah, I know, but I ignore tutorials and I just skip through and go, oh, come on, let me start the game. I don't want all this stuff. And yeah, so I was playing it for quite a while before I realised that you could do that. And then it suddenly became easier, and then I got stuck anyway.
Your Honour, I rest my case.
So I've been playing I've actually been playing a couple of games. I downloaded The Simpsons Arcade because EA had a sale, 59p.
Oh yeah, was that a sale? I wondered why that was top.
Yeah, no, it went on sale down to 59p, so I downloaded it. It's quite good. I'm a real sucker for The Simpsons. I really like The Simpsons game on 360. And
the verdict? What do you think of it?
On the 360? Or on the iPod Touch?
No, the iPhone.
I'm quite liking it. It's similar to the old arcade version. It's fine. I mean, it's not my favourite kind of game. You know, because that sort of, you know, that random beat 'em up was a bit more fun when I was a kid in the arcade, and I don't think it works quite as well on your own on a handheld device. But it looks nice and it's quite kind of clean and crisp the way the combat works. I'm quite liking it. But I mean, the main thing I like about it is the fact that it involved, that it's set in the Simpsons universe, and I'm a big fan. But it's definitely for 59p. I think it's well worth it. If it's, you know, if it's more expensive, if it's £3 or something, maybe not so much. Have you played it, Tracy? What did you make of it?
Yeah, I think it originally was like £3, $5. It is like the old arcade game, but I don't think it's anywhere near as good as that. Now, I mean, I say that, and of course, if you were to play the arcade game now, you'd be like, oh my god, this thing's a piece of shit.
Yeah, that's what always happens. If you ever have a MAME emulator and you go back and play old arcade games, it's always disappointing. It's crushed.
I thought Simpsons Arcade was a piece of shit when it came out, but then again, what do I know?
I didn't like the iPhone version too much. I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't horrible. It just, I thought it could have been cooler.
Yeah, I've literally only played it for. So if you're listening and you're wondering whose verdict to follow Tracy's, because I've only played it for about 2 minutes.
I've not even played it.
Yeah, but what's definitely true is I was not expecting very much from it, and it's fine. Not my favorite kind of game, but it's nice graphics. It's got Homer Simpson kind of running around kicking people, and that is all I really ask of the game. Commodore 64 emulator, that was free, which was good. Monomio's Commodore 64 emulator, which is very popular. It's, you download it and you have to pay for it, and then you subsequently pay for games, 59p each, and these were old Commodore 64 games. I never had a Commodore 64. Monomio is working on emulated Amiga games, and has already put a couple out, and that has got me a lot more excited. But the Commodore 64, I think, despite the popularity of this, and I think they've done a very good job of the emulator, I do think the games are on the fringe of being too old, like just a bit too primitive, and so good for retro enthusiasts. But I think the gameplay doesn't necessarily hold up in all of them, or perhaps even any of them. But I was having some fun with Bruce Lee. That's one game I did play on the Spectrum. I've gone back to Jet Car Stunts, which I love.
Game.
I know, it's really good, and I really liked it at the time, but then I ignored it for a while. I've just lately been going back to it and just having a little flutter every now and again. I just love it. It's brilliant. It's just so solidly put together, and it looks great and everything. But the game I downloaded this week was it Pool Pro Online 3, the Namco?
Oh yeah,
pool game. Because I'm a big.
Danny, good pool games. I'm better than at pool than you.
Sadly, that's untrue. Sadly for you, that's untrue.
That isn't true. But yeah, pool games are normally rubbish, aren't they?
Well, it depends. I mean, Archie MacLean's pool on the Amiga was excellent. And then generally, I think that's like the high watermark. Even though it's quite old, that's the best. That continues to be the best pool game I've ever played. Since then, it's been every game I've played has been somewhere on the spectrum between crap and that. This one is actually quite good. It's really stripped down. There's no tournament mode that I can see. You get a choice of either 8-ball, 9-ball, or snooker, which is pretty good, actually. That kind of covers all the bases. But you can't further refine like the rules of 8-ball. You can't have UK 8-ball versus US 8-ball. You can't do that kind of stuff. But it's got a good kind of in-game structure in that you win. When you play games, you win credits, and with the credits you can buy things like cues and stuff like that. It's online, and I haven't had a chance to do the online stuff, but you can play either past play multiplayer, or you can play local multiplayer, or you can play online multiplayer, which I haven't tried out. The physics of the game seem, you know, fine, like not super perfect. The balls seem to just keep roll a bit too long. This is always it's very difficult to get the physics just right with the pool game, again, which is why Archie MacLean stands up so well. But I don't think it's perfect, but it's very, you know, but it's very solid physics wise. It's not outrageous. The balls don't come off the cushions at funny angles or anything, or at funny speeds. The controls are really well worked out. Actually, the way you cue is, I haven't played a pool game that does it like this, and I'm sure there are many, but I haven't played any of them. So when you want to take a shot, there's a kind of cue icon on the right hand side of the screen, and you just kind of pull back on it, and it's like a spring, so when you let go it takes your shot, which is really good. and it's slightly unusual. But the main thing I've been thinking, and this goes back to what I was saying earlier, is it's a bit too small, and this game would be awesome on an iPad, and I'd really like to play it on an iPad. And I think it's going to be one of the first, it's going to be one of my first downloads, I think, yep, when I get an iPad. But yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. Pool Pro Online 3. And that's me. That's all I've been playing. So Tracy, we sort of know what you've been playing, but give us a kind of summary.
I'll give you something new. I'll talk about one game because I talked about most of the ones I've already played. One game that came out with iPad, and it's also going to be on iPhone and iPod Touch, is a MMO called Pocket Legends, which I have booted up right now on iPad. And I'm looking at my character, who is this bear sort of brawler with a sword and a shield. And he's kind of like the melee warrior class. And I've been playing this. I'm actually a little surprised that I'm into this game, because I am not an MMO person. I'm not one of the many millions of people who got into or are still into World of Warcraft or City of Heroes.
Warcraft is rubbish.
EverQuest. So. Yeah, I mean, I'm not an MMO person, but I don't know. I just like this game. It's all mission based. It's all, let's just say, all quest based. So it's like, it's not an open world MMO like WorldCraft, where you can just go anywhere. You just roam around and you can just go from mission to mission. This is more. It's a little bit more like when you hop into the game, you have a menu where you select which mission, which quest you want to do. And then you go into that particular level. So, but you can have up to five players in any one quest. And then there's a central town that you can go to just basically chat everyone up. But I think I like it because the basic gameplay is like you just go around and hack things to bits. And it's just really cute and it's fun. And it's got the role-playing part right down right, because... Like right now I tap on my character's little health gauge and stuff, and it brings up the menu, and I have my inventory that has all of my, like, I have my helmet, my sword, my armor, my shield, and then I can buy new ones as I earn gold, and then I've got a whole skill set that's specific to this particular class, which is called the Ursin, and then there's also the Avian class, which are archers, and then there's the Elf Enchantress, which is basically like the magic caster. And then each of those class have different, let's see, 12 different skills, and then those are upgradable. So a lot of customization, that's what I look for in an RPG. Like, if I am going to spend, you know, 20 hours of the game, I want to be able to customize my character. So I think that's why I like this game. I'm getting close to getting, I'm definitely going to write a review of it. I like it so far. I wish I had a little bit more MMO sort of stuff. Like, I feel like, okay, great, I can party with five people, but most of the time no one says anything, and you'll spend like 15 minutes playing with somebody and they don't ever say a word. So I kind of feel like there needs to be some sort of more social interaction. And I actually did an interview with these guys. They're really talented developers based out of Texas, and they're planning on bringing player versus player combat in, guilds, different like social elements that I think could really make the game a little bit more robust on that end.
Is this the game that the rumor miner alluded to?
It is.
Right. Okay.
It is.
So it's here.
What's actually one point about it as well is right now it's available on iPad, but it's also coming to iPhone. And they've submitted it, but for some reason I didn't check today, but it the last time I did check iTunes, it was not live. It was not available, but the game is done. And what's cool is that for example, when the iPhone version comes out, I can log in with this character on my phone, play while I'm away from home. And then when I come home, I can play on the iPad, you know, my iPad with the same character.
Okay. That sounds interesting. I might give that a go. We've got a special guest.
Do we?
Coming on just to say goodbye. See if you can guess who it is.
Oh, I'm guessing. Guessed in my head.
Tracy, have you guessed in your head?
Is it going to be Sam Jackson?
No.
Well, I mean, you know, I can't confirm or deny. Okay, you have to. So you guessed in your head. Guessed.
Guessed in my head. I've guessed in my head.
You've guessed the guest. Here comes the guest. Here comes the guest.
Where's the guest?
Where's the guest?
Morning.
Here's the guest. I knew it was going to be Chris.
Yay! Have we missed anything? Are we ready to start then?
Yeah.
We're ready to start finishing. Chris James, Managing Director of Steel Media and erstwhile podcast host. How are you?
I'm fine. I was there at the beginning, you know, before you guys all got famous. I'm like the fifth Beatle.
Yeah, Pete Best.
Pete Best? I'll just say Pete Sutcliffe, but I got confused with something else, didn't I?
No.
You don't want to be Pete Sutcliffe.
That was a different hobby of mine, apart from the music. So, good. I'm good. How's everybody going? We've had a good... I imagine, and I'm going to throw this out there just as a bit of random speculation, you've been talking about the big iPhone, the iPhone XL, as we're now calling it, which has just come out. Is that what you've been talking about?
We mentioned it. We also talked a bit about the iPad Nano.
The iPad Nano, is that, that's a new one. I like that.
I've had one for ages, but I didn't realise it was called that. But it is. Yeah, cool. No, it's been exciting, the iPad launch.
Tracy's got one.
Yeah, John Jordan, he's going to have one soon. I'm going to have one soon. They're going to be everywhere. There's going to be
Where's mine again? Sorry.
I don't know.
John's might be the first one in the UK. What do you think about that?
I don't think it'd be the first one in the UK. I think Apple probably got one.
I doubt it. I spoke to the woman in the shop, and she basically didn't even know her name.
Oh, I think the guys in Apple, I just don't know, for me at Stockley Park, have definitely got them. But
they've probably got them.
But yeah, no, well, that was cool. That's cool. We can do the first UK unboxing. We can do like a copy of the Times and a Union Jack in the background, and we can he can drink tea as he unboxes things.
You could get the Queen to unbox it for us.
You could basically get John to wear, like, you know, a Queen's glove and have a corgi there. He's got nail varnish already, so it wouldn't be a stretch.
I imagine he has. Well, Rennie's got the corgi, and I imagine John has the glove.
Yeah.
And Oscar does look a bit corgi-esque.
It does.
Dog.
So have you been playing anything this week?
I've been mainly I've finished Plants vs Zombies completely.
Oh, good for you.
In every scene, and not just going through the campaign, but going through it to unlock every planet, everything, and to get the little special Easter egg at the end, which is quite cool.
Dang.
So that makes me. I thought it was really good, but I kind of wanted. It wasn't hard enough. I thought that was a thing. I can see why girls like it. That's not a bit racist?
Oh,
that's very apt. Susie, funnily
enough, I'm upset. 5% of audience. Is that 5% of audience upset there with that one comment?
I think it's about 3%.
Yeah, okay.
That one girl has switched off.
Yeah, she switched off again. I've turned off another girl. It's a habit.
That one girl was 5%. She wasn't 3%.
Yeah, but I've been playing that a lot. I've been out and about a lot recently. So I've not. I was mainly writing over Easter and proposals and things. So I didn't really get to do a lot of gaming. I really want an iPad, though, I have to say. I didn't really before. I was really sniffy about it. You know, you get sniffy about something. Oh yeah, well, it's just a big iPhone. And then, like, now having read Tracy's kind of very good coverage of it all, I was kind of thinking.
I went on a very similar journey. Now I'm desperate for one. And now every time I play an iPod Touch game, I think, fine, yeah, this is fine, but it would be much better if it were approximately 9.7 inches across.
Did you make your own have a cereal box, though?
I never did that, no.
That'd be rubbish.
Yeah, I did think it was kind of... Spanner said it was awesome. Spanner wrote a how-to, just in case you're wondering, about how to make your own iPad before the iPad came out. Obviously, awesome. It didn't function in exactly the same way as an iPad did. But nonetheless, he said that it was quite good just to do it and then to hold it in your hand to get a sense of what it was going to be like. This is an experience that Tracy has already had now. But not the rest of us.
Rob has never held something that is 9.7 inches in his hand.
I know, that's true. I've played a couple of games, actually, which are really old. Has anybody played Marple? It's like Marplets. So a really cool.
It's a small town near Manchester.
Yeah, I know. Sadly, it has no connection with the town. Maybe they should have a word like Google and that. But no, it's a really. It's nothing to do with Miss. We might be doing Miss Marple. I don't know, but it's a little puzzle game. It's kind of like a sort of Sudoku-esque. In it, there's millions of variations of puzzles, and it's the same sort of principle each time. But I got a bit hooked on that. And there's quite a cool game called Spirit, which I don't know is massively old or not, but I'm not sure I ever played. And I promised to do a plug for the Game Trail. So it's basically this great new video discovery app, which is free. So go and get it. That's it.
Okay. And on that bombshell, goodbye from me.
Yeah. It's goodbye from me in America.
It's goodbye from me in Manchester, naked.
Lovely. And it's goodbye from me just outside that London. Cool, blimey, Gav.